Good morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in May, where today here we're in part two of our series called Enter Here, like the street sign that points you in the right direction. Enter Here! It's a series about the roads of life that we enter and travel on, and today I want to explore with you from the scriptures about what to do when you feel stuck. When you're on the road, but it feels like you're on the side of the road. Out of gasoline, or engines overheating, or you've got a flat tire. Who knows why, but you are stuck on the side of the road. And of course, that's not where you want to be. You want to be cruising down the road of life toward a preferred destination. Better job, better friends, better life. You want to say, I'm at my best, my truest, my most authentic self. Becoming the kind of person, physically, mentally, spiritually, that I was made by God to be. But that's not where you're at. You're stuck. To which I want to share some counsel from the scriptures, but first, some wisdom from an old game I used to play with my grandfather, checkers. As a kid growing up, we probably played 300 or so games of checkers between like when I was 7 years old and 17 years old. And he was very, very good. And he would never, ever let me win. And it's not very fun to lose over and over and over and over. Now, over time, I did get better and occasionally I would win. But I will always remember the feeling of being trapped and stuck the times in a match when he had me boxed in and I couldn't figure out where to move. And so I'd sit there, playing out all the scenarios in my head, sometimes feeling sorry for myself. And there were times I'd sit there so mad, teary-eyed sometimes, feeling so inadequate. And it would be quiet. I would be quiet for what felt like 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes sometimes, just refusing to move. And finally, he'd say, "Your move," which sometimes felt like he was being cocky, other times just felt crushing to me, because he wasn't giving me information I didn't know. "I know it's my move, Papa. I'm stuck." But he knew something I didn't, which is that I wasn't really stuck unless I just stopped, quit, refused to move at all. Because sometimes I would move and things would turn out better than I anticipated. Turned out there was an opening I didn't foresee, or that he made a mistake and would let me back in the game. Other times I would move and he would just crush me. Game would end quickly. I would lose spectacularly, but I would then learn, because in my loss, I learned what not to do again. And other times, I would move and find myself on a sort of long, slow journey of checkers death, where I would lose, but it would lead to my grandfather giving me a tip or two about what to do differently next time I was stuck. Some wisdom for the next stuck situation. Now, what I hope you see, TNC, is that in all three situations, I was only stuck when I stopped, because when I moved, there was the possibility and the probability for progress. Now listen, when you're stuck in a rut, trapped in a habit, feel like you've hit a wall, find yourself in a relational stalemate, a dead-end job, if you feel trapped, closed in by illness or worry, debt or discouragement, here's the thing, don't stop. Because it's your move. And I know, easier said than done, but you're not stuck unless you stop. Which leads me to this, three strategies for your move when you feel stuck. And they all come from a single story in the scriptures from the book 1 Kings chapter 18, in which we learn that there is a severe famine in the land that was caused by a lack of rain. Hadn't rained in over 3 years, and no rain means no water, and no water means no crops, and no crops mean no sufficient food supply, and no adequate food supply means rapidly diminishing quality of life. And in the story, the people are angry, frustrated, sick, dying, and there was an added problem that the people are turning to another god, disappointed and discouraged with their own God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they turn to Baal, the Canaanite rain god, giving Baal their worship, allegiance, money, energy, and time. But then, amid all of that, Elijah, who's the prophet of the true God, who has been talking to the people, he leads a sort of revival where the people turn back to God, after which there still is no rain. And so they're stuck waiting for the rain. And Elijah, trying to be a source of encouragement, says to the king, verse 41, quote, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain," which is only a statement of faith because there is no sound of rain and there is no rain. Nothing has happened yet. Verse 42, "So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. He bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees, where he just earnestly prays, 'God, please bring the rain. God, please bring the rain. Please.'" And then Elijah tells his servant, verse 43, "Get up, go and look toward the sea. Look for the rain." And the servant gets up, goes and looks, comes back to Elijah and says, "There is nothing there, sir." So Elijah says, "Well, go back, look again." And the servant does. Then the servant runs back out of breath. Same weather information, nothing. And Elijah says, "Well, go back again. Look toward the sea and see if you can see anything, clouds, anything that will give us hope." And the servant does, but sees nothing. And this sequence, get up, go back, look again, nothing, happens 6 times. After which Elijah says, "Go back." 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." And the number 7, you'll know, is a number in Hebrew thinking that meant the perfect number, a number of completion, which means what Elijah was really saying is, just keep on getting up and going back, getting up and going back, however long it takes, until you see rain. Which brings us to the first strategy for when we feel stuck. Number 1, persist. Just keep getting up, working hard, giving your best effort, evaluating, learning, staying humble. Getting up, working hard, giving your best effort, evaluating, learning, staying humble, getting up, working hard. In the words of Dory, the blue tang fish in Finding Nemo, just keep swimming, 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 just keep swimming. Because it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter. A job, a hobby, a relationship, an exercise routine, a financial savings plan. Just keep on working hard. As they say in baseball, hustle never slumps. Just pure, focused, stubborn, stupid. I have no idea where this will end, but I'm not going to stop. I will work out again. I will practice again. I will forgive again. I will start over again. Show up again. Read the Bible again. Pray again. Serve again. Follow through again. I will say no again. No to that negativity. No to that outburst of anger. No to that social media. No to that drug, no to alcohol, because the stories are literally endless. Ask scientists and inventors who make breakthroughs after hundreds and hundreds of failures. Ask athletes who hit winning shots after 10,000 hours in a gym. Read the stories of mathematicians who discover new formulas. Progress and victory and breakthrough almost always happen on just another day of again. And mostly what I'm saying is, don't fall for the trap of saying, "I feel stuck, so I'm stopping." Instead, listen to the wisdom of the prophet Elijah, who calls out to you and to me, "Your move," and to ask us, to ask ourselves, what's the next thing, the today thing, the now thing that I need to do and keep on doing. And then, in the text, Elijah adds one other bit of advice. Maybe you noticed it. Verse 43. Get up, go back, and look. Look toward the sea for the rain, which is the second strategy for when you feel stuck, for when I feel stuck. Number 2, look, pay attention. Are the waves getting more turbulent or more calm? Is the breeze cooler or warmer? Is the wind blowing faster or slower? Do I see a cloud or not? Are the animals beginning to take shelter? Because, you know, sometimes animals sense rain before humans do. Pay attention. Or in the words of Elizabeth Gilbert, get curious. This is from her book, Big Magic, where she writes about how daily curiosity is so much more valuable than occasional passion. She says, actually, forget about passion. First of all, because it's unnecessary advice. Quote, if someone has a clear passion, odds are they're already following it, and they don't need anyone to tell them to pursue it. That's kind of the definition of passion, after all, an interest that you chase obsessively almost because you have no choice. Forget about passion, she says. Stop looking for passion. Instead, replace it with daily curiosity. Because passion makes you overspend on that vacation and overreact at the car who cut you off and cuss at your boyfriend or girlfriend and get divorced and sell all your possessions and binge watch all 5 seasons in 1 weekend and shave your head and get ugly tattoos and move to Canada. But curiosity, she writes, doesn't ask nearly as much of you. It only ever asks one simple question. Is there anything that you're interested in, even a tiny bit, no matter how mundane, no matter how small? Because in that moment, if you can identify even one tiny speck of interest, look into that thing a bit closer, because it's a clue. It might seem like nothing, she says, but it is a clue. Follow that clue. Trust it. See where curiosity will lead you next. Then follow the next clue, and the next, and the next, and you'll end up in places and with people and ideas you can never have come to if you waited for passion to strike. She goes on, curiosity might lead you to learn a language or a musical instrument or pick up tennis, or walk a dog, pick up trash along the street, paint rocks, or join that club. You might think it's procrastination, but with the right intention, it isn't. Some of you need to stop right now and order that book, Big Magic. But it reminds me, again, of that definitive biography of Einstein by Walter Isaacson, which, if you read it, you'll come away really clear on this, that the two most important features of Einstein's personality were curiosity and independent thinking. Isaacson writes about how one day Einstein was watching the sun glittering off a field of flowers, and he asked himself, could I travel on that beam of light? Could I reach or exceed the speed of that light? And if we're moving through a curved space the way a beetle moves across a curved leaf, how would we notice it? You know, normal questions we ask ourselves all the time. Einstein later wrote to a friend, quote, I have no special talents. I'm only passionately curious. I've learned the important thing is not to stop questioning. Never lose a holy curiosity. Because if you stay curious about what you're reading or the people you're meeting in that exact moment, you can be pretty certain that you are on the edge of a discovery or a new relationship or a fresh opportunity. TNC, if you feel stuck, number one, persist. Keep working hard. And number two, while you're working hard, get really curious. Pay attention to every clue. Which leads to the third strategy for when you feel stuck. Number three, remember to be for, not just against. Because when you read this story in the scriptures, this is the kind of thing Elijah says over and over and over. Listen, go eat and drink, for heavy rain is coming. Hitch up your chariot, for the rain is coming. Get going on the road, for the rain is upon us. I'm tucking my cloak into my belt because here comes the rain. Now, the rain has not yet come, but notice his options. Option one, hi, my name is Elijah, and I'm against the famine. Or, hi, my name is Elijah, and I am for the rain. Now, this might be trivial, and I might be stretching this a little bit, but listen, People who get stuck are often experts on protesting against stuff, but they're novices at living for stuff. And Elijah is not just against the famine, he's for the rain. Now let's make this more practical, because I understand that all of us have moments of realizing what we are against. I'm against hypocrisy, and I can tell you all about who's being a hypocrite. I'm against Christian nationalism. I'm against greed, and I'll tell you who's greedy. I'm against racism, and I'll tell you who's a racist. I'm against gossip. I'm against cynicism. I'm against the destruction of our environment. Now, it's good to identify what you are against and to turn away from those things. But we also must turn toward and arrange our days around what we are for. See, I'm not just against hypocrisy. I'm for truth-telling. I'm not just against Christian nationalism. I'm for being a part of a spiritual community that's actively engaging in tolerance and inclusivity and humility. And I'm for generosity and servanthood. And I'm for caring for the environment. Today, I'm for working hard and paying attention. And I'm for finding little hints of the divine in the feel of homemade pizza and the warmth of the sun, in the taste of sweet honey or bitter chocolate, in the sound of a wooden bat hitting a baseball or a cup of coffee that's percolating, in the smell of freshly cut grass or the scent of that burning candle. And my life may not be where I want it to be, but I am on my way because I'm living for the rain. And because I know God's not finished with my work, my family, or my character. And God's not finished in our neighborhood, in our city, in our country, or in our world. Verse 44. The seventh time the servant reported to Elijah, a cloud, not a big one, just a small one, as small as a man's hand, is rising up from the sea. Okay, Elijah replies, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain comes. Verse 45, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, and there was the sound of great rain. And then the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And I imagine this, shouting and singing with every clap of thunder, feel the rain! The famine is over! TNC, let's persist together. Let's pay attention together, and let's live for the rain. Stuck? Not me. And not you. Because in the words of my grandfather, it's my move. It's your move. And we're not stuck unless we stop. So let's persist, let's pay attention, and let's live for the rain. Will you pray with me? God, as we pause right now, I just think of two texts in Scripture. Galatians chapter 6, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And then from Romans chapter 5, consider it pure joy when you face suffering, because you know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. God, we place our hope in You today. Give us Your wisdom. Give us persistence and curiosity and a spirit of being for what You're doing in our lives, in our families, and in our world. And now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. Make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.